Me turn off the microphone. That's not what I wanted to do. I want to turn up the volume. Okay, because I think if I turn up the volume, okay. Very good. Okay, we're ready to begin. Up to that Chof Aleph Omer Aleph. I believe so. We got a verification. Everybody agrees? That's right. So,
Kitzer.
She's got pneumonia. Yeah. Yes, tonight's stuff, we're going to learn for as a special for Shlomo of my mother in law, Sarah Gifolbas Chaya Stefega, who just got admitted for pneumonia into the hospital. And hopefully she'll have a for Shlomo with the miracle of intravenous antibiotics that we are zocha to have in our time. The kach nohag Rabbi Eliezer Talmido Acharov. So Rabbi Eliezer, his Talmud, was knowing as well, just like Rabbi Yochanan, he just said, I think it was Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai, right? Yeah. Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai. So keep that in mind. This first, we were talking about Atana, Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai. Rabbi Eliezer, his Rabbi Eliezer, his Talmud, who's also Atana. He was also nohag after him to wear tefillin at all times. At all times. In fact, he brings an amazing story in the footnote, which I didn't look up in Masechta Tefillin. It says that Rabbi Eliezer was preparing to go into a mikvah, and after he took off his clothing, they told him a nearby mikvah had better water. I don't know whether it was clearer or what the milah was, but there was only 4 amas between the 2 bodies of water. And because he was makbid not to walk down an amas without tefillin, it says that he put on his tefillin before walking over to the other mikvah. So to me, this has tremendous impact. I just see this as, this has 2 chidush. First of all, obviously, his zahiris in the mitzvah of tefillin, not to walk down amas. But besides that zahiris, which is the obvious message, there's an ashara as, when I say it, I didn't walk down an amas without tefillin. So do I mean the distance? It means the time, right? It means I spent every moment of my life wearing tefillin. Here we see he's not focused on the time element, but rather he's focused on the space, which I find very fascinating because I didn't think that that was that important, right? Because if you're talking about an investment of time, I would say he's losing, right? Because how much time would it take him to walk the 8 feet to go from one mikvah to the other without putting on the tefillin? He would save time. Instead, he's more concerned with the space. I don't know. I don't know what to make of this exactly. I'm just pointing it out as an observation. You're going to have to talk up, Shansi, because they can't hear you if you talk so softly. Yeah. Right. It's a Kiddush Gadol. He had to get dressed because otherwise he couldn't put on the tefillin. It doesn't say it, but it has to. It's muchach. He couldn't put on the tefillin if he wasn't dressed. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan, now we're going, and the Haredim notices this change from going from Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai to Rabbi Yochanan the Tana to Rabbi Yochanan the Amora. Of course, we're just going to keep him, you know, homing in on Rabbi Yochanan himself. So, Besisva in the winter, Tahav Chazek Reshe, his head was strong. It's the way he translates it here. Hava Lovish Kaben, he wore both the Tzon Shoyam, Tzon Shorosh. Rambakaito in the summer, Lohava Chazak Reshe, I guess it was very hot. He was a heavy person, as we know, Rabbi Yochanan was a Balbasar. So they say, Lohava Loshel Be'edre, he only wear on his arm, not on the Tzol Shel Rosh, because he was obviously, it was too strenuous. Some people are goreis, in the footnotes it says that some people are goreis the opposite, that it was in the summer that he wore both, but in the winter he couldn't wear the Shel Rosh because his head was too cold, and therefore he had to wear some kind of a cap or something like that, keep his head warm. And from that, I looked this up. This is quite a fascinating discussion. From that, we derive a major discussion of halacha. Are you allowed to wear your tefillin on top of a beged if it's the Shel Rosh? So if you want, if you know, I'll wait until the end. At the end, you know, after, at the end of the is it chatzitza? Yeah, let's talk about this at the end. This is a long discussion, and I really want to talk about it because I went through the sugya a little bit, but we're going to run out of time if I talk about it now. Okay, so let's go on. Anyone also mishum erva? Is it not aser to wear erva? In other words, weren't there situations where Yochanan had to take off his clothing and go to take a bath? Take a shower. So, what do you mean he's always wearing tefillin? That can't be accurate. So, I'm not sure what was bothering the Gemara here. So, what? I mean, that's not what we meant. Of course. And he had to sleep also. He didn't stay up all the time. And we knew he wouldn't sleep with his tefillin. I don't understand this question. I really, mamish don't understand what the Gemara is trying to bring out over here. No, this is not going back. That was a case with Rabbi Lazar, first of all, that story. I believe so, yeah. Anyway, yeah. Anyway, so fine. Next, so let's see what it says. Amar Rabbi Baraba. So this is his Talmud, I guess, of Rabbi Yochanan. A pi karsin hayalovish mibifnim. He would wear a robe beneath his cloak. So we have to understand. You have to understand the way that the bathhouse worked there. So they explained that when you got to the bathhouse, there were three rooms. The outside room, you got there, you took off your outer cloaks, and then you went into the inner room, gave them the inner cloak, and then they gave you a bath towel or whatever else. Then you went in to the inner chamber where you went into the bath. So normally, you wouldn't be able to wear, if you weren't wearing any clothing after giving your clothing and taking off your outer clothing in the outer chamber, you obviously wouldn't be able to wear your tefillin. So to avoid this, Rabbi Yochanan had another layer of undergarments, which we're calling here a robe, beneath his cloak. So Kavod Ovel Masi, when he went to bathe, after he took off his ordinary cloak, to be able to keep wearing his tefillin going into the middle room, when he got to the area of the second room, then he would first remove his tefillin. So in other words, what we're saying here is he kept on his tefillin for the maximum time. So there wasn't one moment where it was in any way possible for him to wear his tefillin that he wasn't wearing his tefillin. That seems to be the answer. Another Talmud, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Ad Yaakov Turmason Hayalovshon. Here, there seems to be different ways to understand this Gemara. There's some say Yaakov Tormason was the bathhouse manager. Okay. And he was on the innermost room and he remained with his tefillin on until immediately before he bathed. Okay. Whatever. Some say that Yaakov Tormason was actually a person who lived next door to the bathhouse. And we're actually talking about here where Rabbi Yochanan had finished bathing and that he wouldn't put on his tefillin until he'd leave the bathhouse completely, because putting on your tefillin for the first time is more chomer, and he wouldn't do that at all in the bathhouse. So he waited until he got next door to this Yaakov Tormason who lived next door. It is more than Dalamas, but whatever. But this was necessary. These are different pshatim, you know, I in Shom, it's in the textuals. The kind of anafik misfate, when Rabbi Yochanan immersed in the bathhouse of Yamalei, they gave him his tefillin. Have a meisim lay, and when they brought it to him, he used to say this. This used to be something he used to say. I guess this was like his weekly Dvar Torah, that he said the same Dvar Torah over and over again. which is interesting. Shnei Aronos Hayu Mahalchin and Yisovim, but there were two Arons in the Midbar. Aronos Shal Chehalom, Aronos Shal Yosef. So he had one with Yosef's bones and one with the Banish Shalom's, with the Luchas and the Torah in it, right? Hayu Umos Hayu Lomayim, the nations would see this. They say, Matimon Shotei Aronos Alolu. What are these two Aronos you're carrying with you? Hayu Yisrael Amrilahem, Chayisol would say, Aronos Shal Yosef. In Aronos Shal Chehalom, and these are they would explain what they are. Is this make sense? A dead person with the one whose life lives forever? What's going on over here? What the, how can these two Aronos travel together? This one kept, meaning Yosef kept what was written in this, in the Torah that's found in the other Aron. So what is that? What's the message over here? The Gemara even asked the question, why did Rabbi Yochanan say this at all when he left the bathhouse? Amrav Hanina, begin Meimar Mila Doraisa, because he wants to speak Torah. He doesn't want to go, you know, even Dalai Lama's without speaking Torah, right? So Rabbi Hanina asked, Amrav Mona. So Rabbi Mona says to him, Mohochin, is that so? Lohavle Mila Doraisa Hure Lameimar El Adot. Was there no other words of Torah he could say besides this Torah? He's repeating the same Vatara every time. What's going on? Hello. So Ramanas explains an explanation. Kinturin Havin. This was some sort of, from Lashon Lakanter, a rebuke. Lomar, he was saying, Yosef was Zochel Malchus. Eloi, this is Shimon Mitzvah Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. The reason Yosef was Zochel Malchus, because he kept the Mitzvah Hashem. And for Anu Lon Zochinu L'chala Kavod Hazeh. We were not Zochel to this Kavod. El Ayyaday, next page, we're on Kafal Ham Beis, Shemarnu Mitzvahs of Shalakarish Baruch, that we keep the mitzvahs. Ba'atun Boim Mavat Mitzvahs of Minot, and you want to be Mavat Mitzvahs from us. So now, the question, the issue here is, well, who is he directing his words at? So some say, on a very simple level, that he was directing his, they had slow service over there in the bathhouse. So he had given them his throne. When he went in, you know how it is when you check in your coat and at the chasna, and then you're on your way out of the chasna, and you're waiting for them to go get your coat, and you're waiting, and you're like, what's taking so long? It's very simple. They have the number, go get my coat already, right? So if Yechon is directing his criticism at these people being slow on the draw, bringing this tefillin, you're being mevatel me from my mitzvahs of tefillin. So I find this very humorous. That here he had the same Dvar Torah that he said to the checkout people. That's a shver shot. I don't know, week after week, the same Dvar Torah. I don't know. I find that very unlikely. You want to say something?
Saying the same Dvar Torah is more proving the point that this is a Bittul's man a little bit. Yes, it's on the Torah, but I'm not even coming up with a new Chiddush view every time to make it an exciting encounter. This is not an exciting encounter. That's why it's the same
Dvar Torah
to prove a point.
So Rabbi Yochanan is trying to just hammer a point home, right? Yeah. Okay. Another shot over here is that he's talking to the Romans, who are, in other words, we said that the Umos Olam was saying Mativon. So in a sense, he's talking to the Romans, telling them, "What do you mean battle us from mitzvahs?" So it's a whole different political speech. I don't know what the pshat is. It's one of these very difficult things. It needs more Ian. Okay. In footnote one, you'll see the way he has these two of them pshatim. Okay. Now we're going to switch to talking about tefillin. What matter does one make blessings over the tefillin? In other words, what's the Seder Advarim? Okay, the Yerushalmi is a little different than the way we do it. Rav Zrika and B'Shem Rav Yaakov are Edi. Hishu Noisin al Yad Baruch. What do you say when you put the Fosh Yad Baruch? Hashem comes to Zvonu al Mitzvah Tzvon. So they said the Baruch of al Mitzvah Tzvon on the Shayad, not Lahaniach Tzvon like we do. Hishu Noisin al Rosh Mahu Omer. Hashem comes to Zvonu al Mitzvah Hanochas Tzvon. A whole different Baruch, which we don't even have. Okay? Hishu Chotzon Mahu Omer. Now you have the Yerushalmi Shita that when you took off your tefillin, you made a bracha. Baruch Hashem Kishon Tzivonu Lishmor Chukov. Everybody knows, I'm sure you're familiar with the pasuk Kishamato Asahuka Azois Lemoadom Yomim Yomimo, which is a pasuk in one of the parshas of Mitzvah. And if you're not familiar with it, you should be familiar with it. And there's a machlokas in the Gemara what that pasuk is referring to. The machlokas Tanoim Shamata Asahuka Azois Lemoadom Yomim Yomimo is referring to the chuk of tefillin, and yomim yomimo would mean therefore you need to watch your tefillin, to put your tefillin on only by day and not by night. Yomim yomimo. The other pshat is that it's referring to the parsha of Korban Pesach. You have to make sure you make that Korban Pesach comes out at a certain time of year. It's a totally different pshat. The nafka mita. Because it's a shmira is a lav, and some say it's an asay. So the idea is an asay to be careful not to wear your tefillin at night. So if you hold this referring to tefillin, then there's an iser to wear tefillin at night, big nafkamina. If you hold this referring to tefillin, it's also to wear tefillin at night. If you hold this referring to Pesach, then there's no iser to wear tefillin at night. Okay, that's an nafkamina. So with that hakdama, we can understand the Gemara very quickly. Asyan, if you made the bracha Asher Kishon Mitzvosov Mitzivon Lishmar Chukov when you took off your tefillin, obviously, by the way, we're talking about we took off your tefillin at the end of the day, not right after davening, but at the end of the day. Asyan Kamandamar Chukas Tefillin Hakosam Adaber. It's coming out like the sheet of the holds. Nevishamato Atzal Chukas Oismiyamim Yamimo is talking about tefillin. Ram Kamandamar. But however, according to the other sheet of the holds, which I think is Rabbi Kiva, by the way, then that would not be correct. Okay, so that's an afkamina. Who's wrong or right? No, I'm not going to decide who's wrong or right. I will tell you that it seems to me that it's a machlokas that Tos, he quotes here in footnote 7. That Tosis and the Rambam seem to have a difference of opinion. That's what the machlokas is. Tosis says that the halachas are Rekiva, and therefore well, there's no reason to ever make the bracha lishmar chukav because the mitzvah tefillin could be continued into the night. That's Tosis Shita, and the Rambam apparently seems to paskin with Rabbi Yossi Haglidi. Okay, who's the other Shita? Who learns that it's going on to fill it? Okay.
Doesn't say anything here about which comes off first in the Yerushalmi.
You mean the Rosh or the Yad? No, it doesn't talk about that.
Well, I guess you say that bracha after you took both the ones, rather than just one.
I will tell you there is a minhag that the Mishnah Berurah quotes that there was a minhag that people used to when they said an Uval Etzion. Right? That when you would say there's a minhag to take off your tefillin. Because as a zecher, even though we're doing it right after davening, but it's a zecher to this shita that shamarto that we're gonna watch this chok, this halacha. That we're going to keep it, and we're going to be shomer to take off our tefillin.
Sure, that I read that on Rosh Chodesh, he did that in the middle of Rosh Chodesh.
Oh, is that right? They did Shnei Shlochu Kach and took off their tefillin? Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, that way you avoid the rush, after Kaddish to try to get your tefillin and wrap them up before, within 20 seconds. That's the way to avoid that. So that's one thing I would say about that. I'll just mention one other halacha while we're talking about this. It says that a person who takes off their tefillin in front of their rav is moira halacha if they rav. You're not supposed to take off your tefillin. It's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, in your day. No, that allows. It says you're not supposed to take off your tefillin because it's moira halacha if they rav. How is it moira halacha if they rav? Because you're showing your Rebbe. It's time to take off the tefillin, meaning at the end of the day, and it's sunset, so you're showing your Rebbe, look, Rebbe, it's time to take off your tefillin. So that's called Moira Halacha Bnei Rabo, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to do that in front of your Rebbe. I'm not familiar with the other one.
Before you
I'm talking in front of him. That he could see that you're passing, that it's time to take off the tefillin. Yeah, you're right. I haven't thought through that level of detail. Maybe. You're right. It probably means in 4 years. Probably. I didn't work out that detail. Okay. Rabbi Avuhu, b'shem Rabbi Eleazar, hanoisin tefillin b'layla. So if you put on tefillin at night, interesting that he uses the language hanoisin. Okay. If you put on tefillin at night, over Masay. Why? Matam b'shamatra asachuk azos l'madot yomim yomimo yomim v'lo leilos yomimo prat l'shabbos es v'yomim toivim. So we have an exclusion. You can't do it at night. You can't do it on Shabbos and Yom. For Rabbavu Yosef Masi Marantro was filo ilahi. I Rabbavu himself would sit and learn at night. So you see, there's no din. I mean, it's a contradiction. Rabbavu just said you can't put on your tefillin at night, and here he himself was learning at night. So the Gemara says, mitzidodin have. They were placed slightly to the side. They were in a safekeeping. In other words, he at night he would like shift them over. They would be out of place, so he'd be wearing them, but he wouldn't be wearing them at Makom Mitzvah. And the purpose obviously was to keep them from getting lost or something like that, right? Is the boy Maymar?
See that someone's on wrong. They say, "Oh, is that how it's supposed to be crooked or so?" So maybe it would be bad.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't be a big concern because they had a whole day. They had a whole day of correct enough. So I don't think you'd have to worry about it. Yes. Well, that's a good question. If a person feels that he's about to not have guf noki. And he moves. This is a good child. Well, hello. Person feels that they're going to have, they're going to have to release some air. Is it enough for me to take my tefillin and move it away from its makom, and then I don't have any more problem? Or do you say that since they're on my guf, it requires a shmirah anyway? So
the only reason that he moved it over is so they'd be able to make a bracha the next time he wants to put it on. Because if it's out of place here for a long period of time, then you need to make a move.
Well, he's moving it out of place because it's nighttime.
Right. Yeah. Whether it's covered, it's
more covered to the. Yeah. Is it because it's on? Is the Isra HaFocha because of it's on your goof, or is the Isra HaFocha because it's in the Makom HaMitzvah? So that would be dependent on how you. I mean, I'm not going to say. I think it might be a problem. Yeah. Okay. That some people want to say a different answer. Why was he able to wear them at night learning, even though he just said that yomim yomim was only by day, not by night? That's lomar hanosin. That's to put it on to begin with. But if you were wearing them already, then you're allowed to continue to wear them. Some want to say like this, that the reason not to learn from Yomim Yomimo to exclude Shabbos, but rather we'll learn to exclude Shabbos and Yontif from the fact that it's one Os versus two Osos. The nafkamina between these reasons is whether it's an Isser. If the only reason that you can't wear it on Shabbos is because you don't need it, because we already have an Os, what's the problem with wearing it? So you'll have two Osos. It's basically saying you don't have to wear it. If you did wear it, it wouldn't necessarily be an Isser. I think that's what they say. The nafkamina might be between the two reasons.
And you have to keep an extra day, like say a Shabbos and Sunday. Then on Sunday, I guess you put on tefillin, even though it may be Shabbos. But then maybe you don't say a bracha.
I'm not sure about the what I just said. Okay. The law can't serve you yom and yom. So the more I ask, what about the pasuk? Let's look at you have no explanation for this, the way he explained it, how he translates it, except for Biakun, who says, call Mila, the Lomachavra, the Samkin Lom, and the Astra and Sagi. If something is not explicit and you have to figure it out through drushas, so then you could have multiple places from which you could learn. In other words, you could have Yom Yomimah, you could have the Cholos, L'Acher, or you could have Shnei Isis. You have various places. Okay? That's what he says over here.
So is the Rishali saying that you can have two separate psukim in the Torah that are teaching you the exact same thing?
You can sometimes have more than one source. Over here, the way he says it here is in footnote 16, he says, the fact that there's more than one source doesn't present a difficulty. Each verse is merely an asmachta. So it's, in other words, it's not the primary reason it's written. I guess that would be the pshat. I'm not sure. This you have to be mind more into this exactly. Tamantanina, Noshim Avadim, Turim, Kriyashmam, and Tefillin. So it says that Noshim Avadim are parted from Kriyashmam, from Tefillin. Noshim Minayin, how do you know? Because it says the Matthew was supposed to make him lost, but no Sechem. So it says you're exempt from Torah, your daughters. Eshuhu Chayavat Talmud Torah, Chayavat Tefillin. So if you're Chayav in Torah, you're Chayav in Tefillin. Noshim, you're Chayav in Talmud Torah, you're Chayav in Tefillin. So you're not Chayav in Tefillin. So Haseb and Harim Michalbash, Bushi, Haisel Levashis Tefillin. What about Michal, who was a daughter of Shaul? She used to put on tefillin. I was saying Noshim Benachayev in tefillin, and Ishtar Shoyono Hoysa Oiler Golem, the wife, or now on 22A, and the wife of Yona used to go up to be Ola Leregel, right? And that is a mitzvah also, which Lechora is a mitzvah Seishas Man Grama. The Chacham did not protest against them. Okay? So it seems that they actually are obligated in this mitzvah. So the implication here is in footnote 2 that he talks about this. So if they were actually exempt from wearing tefillin, then they surely would have disallowed them from putting them on. So that's the big question here. So that's going to be the big shaila in Rishonim here. There's a lengthy discussion of places about this in the Erevin and Rosh Hashanah and various places where there's two approaches. Either you're going to say that, and there's machlekes like for Rashi exactly. If Rashi says that it would have been baltaisif for a woman to do a mitzvah that she's not allowed, that she's not mitzvah in, Taisis disagrees. Taisis brings from Rebbeinu Tam that yes, if they want Noshim, some close to Rishus, and Noshim, you have the Gemara in Sukkah where you have the I forgot her name, that on the beginning of the Sefer where she had a sukkah that she made for her child. Hilni, was it? Yeah. So you see various Gemaras where you have women doing mitzvahs that they're not believing. There's no question they can. So therefore, right, the Talmud learns that the problem here is specifically about tefillin they would have objected to, because Noshim normally are not showing us this goof on properly. And therefore, that they would have objected to it. But so it's a major machlokes to show them how to learn this Gemara. Right. Okay. Next. So let's see. So what are we saying now? We started saying that they're not chayef in the midst of tefillin. And then we have this Michal who wore tefillin and no one was mocha. So what are you going to do with that? So Pizkiya B'Shem Rabavu Ishta Shoyono Hushfa, that Yonah's wife went up for Aliyah L'Regel, they turned her back. They pushfa. They said, "Go, don't go with me here." Michal Bas, go home. Michal Bas Kushi. Michal B'Yonah Chacham. They were mocha. They didn't let her do it without objection. Okay. Let's see, what does it say here? That's right. So Yonah's wife, if Yonah's wife wasn't really chayav in the mitzvah, then you have more of an issue of just doing the voluntary mitzvah, because it would be chulin ba'azara since she isn't chayav to bring that carbon. So it looks like chulin ba'azara, and therefore they object. What? Yeah, it's garbage. But you know, I mean, yeah, if she's doing it for the purpose of a chayav. So she's not chayev, so it's school matzah. Yeah. So that's the problem.
Why didn't David Amelo complain about Michal? unless you say that this is before he married her.
I don't know. So I guess we'll stop here for now. And I just want to tell you a little bit about that inyan that I started telling you about earlier, which was what? What was the inyan I was telling you about? That I was gonna be about what? No. I was gonna tell you about the inyan of putting on tefillin on your on the big machlokes, the Rush and the Rashba, very interesting machlokes. So the Rush quotes a Gemara that says the following. Gemara says, "Makam saro hayanira bibachutz on the Rosh of the Kohen Gadol, between the tzitz and the mitznefes, that his hair could be seen in the space between the mitznefes over here and the tzitz over here. There will be a space where his hair showed. Makam shaya tefillin. That's where the tefillin, because makam hayan the tefillin shorosh. That's what it said in the Gemara." So the Rush is Madaik from the Gemara. So what do you see? That to put it on the Mitznefes, they were mocked. Because to put it on the Mitznefes would have been a Chatzitza. So you see, the Rush says, you see from that Gemara, you're not allowed to put your tefillin on top of a hat or something like that. Top of your yarmulke. Next Gemara, the Rashba's Gemara, is based on a Gemara in Megillah. The Mishnah in Megillah says that there were these people who used to wear the tefillin shel yad on gavei, I think the word is unkeli, something like that, which means on top of their shirts. Where it says these were they were against what Chazal said. Chazal had a drasha, which is the tefillin shel yad says v'chay l'cha la'os ayarcha. And Chazal said, "L'cha la'os, v'lo la'cherem la'os." This is a famous drasha, which is it's a D'Oraisa drasha that when you wear tefillin on Shoyad, it's for you the os. It's not for other people to see. It's for you. This is probably why everybody has that piece of cardboard that covers their Shoyad. It's because it's the purpose of that is to cover it. It should be for you, not for other people. But more than that. Is to wear on top of your shirt, everyone can see it. So they went out of the way and they wore on their shirt. So they were, the Mishnah says it's objectionable. So the Rashba says, okay, that's where there's a drasha. L'cholos v'lacherem los. That's a drasha only by the shayat. On the shalrosh, adarabah, he says. It says the opposite in the chumash. V'ro kol amiyaretz kishem Hashem dikro lecho. V'yaro mimecha. Just the contrary. The Shorosh is for everybody to see. So therefore, the Rashba derives from that you see that the Shorosh, there's no problem of it being on top of something. The whole issue of Chatzitza, that they had a complaint against these people, let's put it differently. The whole taino on putting the Shoyad on top of the shirt was a L'cha L'os V'lo L'acherem L'os taino. It was not a taino that it was a Chatzitza. But if you were missing the taina of l'chol os, then you could wear it on top of a beg, and it would not be a problem. Therefore, the Rashba says it's no problem whatsoever to wear it on top of a beg. Major machlokas rishon. Who do we paskin like? We paskin l'chumra. In Shulchan Aruch, it says you're not allowed to wear it on top of a beg, lo b'shal yad, lo shal rosh. That's what we paskin. However, there is a Trumas Rivash that says if someone has on his head certain sorts of sores, has a Band-Aid, he has sores that are leaking, oozing, pus, whatever, and he has to cover them. So then as a matzah of a b'di'eved, you can be samech on the Rashba, and you can wear the Shorosh on top of the beged. However, in that case, you do not make a bracha of al besas tefillin on the Rosh. You make one bracha on the shayad. You mechaven to be moitzi with the one bracha of the shayad, the shalrosh as well, because since there's anyway plenty of rishonim to hold, you only make one bracha anyway. That's a big machlekes rishonim as it by itself. So since you're going to be, you'll be simuch on the Rashba, you make laniach, and it'll be mighty both shayyan and sharosh, and that's the halach lamaisa. Okay, and they bring, oh yeah, and finally, and the Rashba brings our Gemara. He quotes our Yushalmi. Rashba quotes our Yushalmi in Chelek Zion. The Rashba quotes our Yushalmi that Rabbi Yochanan, in the winter, he didn't wear his shavrosh because he needed to keep his head warm with some kind of head covering, with his cap, whatever. So you see that you couldn't put, if you could just put the shavrosh on top of a beged, so why was he mocking not to wear it during the winter? You see the feirish, that it's awesome.
The opposite, what about putting a hat on top of the strap?
Why wouldn't he have been able to do that? Yeah, Lachari could have done that also. Yeah, so.
Put a cap on top of the shalrosh?
No, we're talking about the other way. Can I put a shalrosh on top of the cap? Putting a cap on top of the shalrosh, that's a different thing. There, you want people to be able to see the shalrosh, roll color. Yeah, some people you'll see. There are some people who have a minhag. Rabbi Shachatov is among them, by the way. I saw him do it. He covers his head and his tefillin shalrosh with his talis when he davens for an esrei. I was a little surprised, but it is brought. The Kabbalists and some people say that you can do that. But the general minhag, if you don't have that minhag, do not do that. Because the pashtos of the pshuto is Baruch Kol Ha'aretz, Kishem Hashem Nikro Lecha V'Yaro Mimech, Ad Kan.